Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Vibe, where love and faith collide. I'm Michael D. Ballard, but you can call me the marriage pastor, your navigator through the exciting world of Faithful Hearts community. Picture this as you go to for your playlist for all things relationship, love, faith, wisdom. I'm going to be spinning the greatest hits from God's word that resonate with your love life. Whether you're single, mingle, hitch, no matter your status, you're in the right spot. We're about to drop some serious knowledge and inspiration, exploring the sweet and spicy of your relationships, all through a divine lens. So get ready for a journey that's part talk show, part spiritual retreat, and 100% transforming your love story. So buckle up, buttercup, and let's hit the road on this epic adventure. We're turning up the volume on love, cranking up the wisdom, and remixing the way you see relationships. Welcome to the place where faith meets life, and every session is a step closer to a love story that's straight out of heaven's script. Let the journey to make marriage made in God's kingdom begin. And trust me, it's going to be one for the books. Now, if you are in a small group, if you are doing this on your own, if you're at church, I tell you, we're going to be doing this. This is going to be I'm planning on it being a 12-month series, but it's whatever God is calling me to do. But every day, I'm going to be dropping a small mini lesson, okay? You're going to take the workbook. Every week, I'm going to drop a new workbook, okay? You're going to download the workbook. You're going to use that to take the daily lessons and go to the next level with your love life. There's call to actions, there's prayer, there's journaling, there's definitions that will take this lesson and help you to digest it and really take your love life to the next level. Download the workbook that will help support the mission. My mission is to teach people what God has called marriage to be in this day and age, where everybody has a platform and everybody is speaking their truth, but not the truth, okay? So to get the workbook, to follow along, go to my website, Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L-D as in David, Ballard, B-A-L-L-A-R-D.com. You better click the link and download the workbook every week. You can print it out or you can fill it out right on your computer or on your phone, okay? This is what the workbook looks like. All I ask is that if you are doing this in a group, for everybody to download their own workbook so that you can take it home with you. You can meditate. You can have your own personal notes and journal. Plus, it supports your boy so that I can take this mission around the world, okay? Because statistics prove that a lot of churches don't have people that are dedicated to singles that's looking for healthy marriages and marriages that's looking to help get through conflicts, the life issues to help prevent divorce. That's what God has called me to do, to be, to go to. That's why you can call me your marriage pastor. I don't want to take your pastor's position, but I can be the marriage pastor and help you, whether you're trying to date, trying to mate, or trying to keep from killing each other. I'm going to be there to help you. I'm also married, so I understand how life can be. All right, so let's jump right into it, because every day I'm going to be dropping these messages and I don't want them to be too long, okay? Because you're going to get one every day. So let's jump right into it. I like to start with a story. You like stories? Who don't like stories? This one is called The Great Cake Caper. The Great Cake Caper. It's a tongue twister. So let me break down the background. Sarah, a young woman in her late 20s, had always been known for her patience and selfless nature, often going out of her way to help others. Her friend Mark, however, was the opposite, a bit clumsy and often self-centered, yet endearing in his own way. One day, Sarah decided to bake a special cake for her grandmother's 80th birthday. She spent hours in the kitchen, meticulously preparing what she hoped would be the perfect surprise. Just as she was putting the final touches on the cake, Mark dropped by unannounced. In a classic Mark move, while trying to get a sneak peek at the cake, he tripped over the kitchen rug, sending the entire cake flying across the room. It was a disaster. The once beautiful cake was now splattered mess on the floor. Now, what would you have done? You've been working all day baking this cake. Somebody come and they trip and knock it out. What would you have done? Ask yourself, honestly. Now, instead of reacting with anger or frustration, Sarah burst out laughing. She helped Mark up and assume that he was, and assure that he was okay. Seeing the look of guilt and embarrassment on his face, she said, "Well, I always wanted to try my hand at abstract cake art." Together, they cleaned up the mess. Sarah then quickly whipped up a simpler cake, joking that this one would have had a unique story behind it. She invited Mark to come along to her grandmother's birthday party, turning the mishap into a funny story they shared with everyone. Her grandmother looked at the abstract cake, and with a heartwarming smile, she said she loved it. Now, here's some takeaways to that story. Sarah's response was a perfect example of agape love. She put aside her disappointment, forgave Mark immediately, and turned the situation into a positive, memorable experience. Her actions reflected patience, kindness, and a lack of self-seeking. True hallmarks of agape love. Plus, it gave everyone a good laugh in a story that would be told for ages. That opens up the door for our scripture of today. Today's story, we're going to be focusing on 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 8. But what I want to break down before we get into the scripture is agape love and understanding that in our life, especially in our relationships, we want to strive for agape love. Now, we live in a world where we throw around that word love all the time. Me and my wife was looking at some TV shows. I think it was Love is Blind or something, one of them shows. I'm not plugging the show, but we was looking at one of the shows, and within the first couple of episodes, everybody started to say, "I love you, I love you, I love you," right? And it got me to thinking, what does love really mean since we throw that word around so much? So I had to break down where the Holy Spirit had me to break down that there's different levels of love. Now, you can pause this. I'm not going to go through all of it. But this chart was a chart that I used to collect data from relationship health, as well as the years that people are in relationships. Now, normally, when you look at this chart, arrows, they did a really good job of breaking down the word love, because some people can say they love a hot dog. Some people can say they love their dog. Some people can say they love their car. Some people say they can love their children. Some people say they can love their spouse. There are different levels of love. Would you agree? There are different levels of love. And this chart here really helps you to determine, as far as in intimate relationships are concerned, when you say I love you, and what level of love that is, and normally what time frame that love normally is the most prevalent. So as you see, the very first one is Eros. I call that the spark flame. Now, I call this the flames of love, right? There's 10 levels of love. And as you can see, where we have Eros, let me see, can I get my pointer? So you see how we have Eros here, right? Which is the highest level. Now, this is normally the area of love that most people experience when they meet someone. This is all passion, right? We call that the spark flame, right? It's the highest one. Everybody starts off here. Now, this lasts anywhere from the first encounter to 1 to 2 years normally, right? Then once that spark, it goes to a next level, which is, we call that ludus, which is the playful frame. Flame. Now, if you can see here, just so you understand the chart, we all start about 100%. 20% of people drop off their relationship. They don't even make it to this level. This is why it says 80%, because what happens is about 20% of people in the relationship and they never get to this level, right? So when you see these numbers, This is the percentage of people that start at this level. That means, like, for example, we all start here. When we get to this, the friendship flame, about 30% of the people drop off and they break up their relationship. Now, as it regards to agape, let's go all the way down to agape, guys. Look here. At agape level, 10%, and this normally happens around the year 15, which means most people in relationships start here, but within a 15-year frame of a framework, about 10% actually make it to the agape love, love for their spouse, and that's around the 15-year mark. Now, you may say, man, Michael, that sounds like it's hopeless then. Why should I even stay in a relationship? Why should I even be married? Well, one of the goals for me is to help more people to get to the agape love. And that's why we're starting off this series with the foundation of love, with the foundation, because you can't start off a love series without the foundation, right? Everything goes on top of your foundation. So we're starting off with the love, the foundation of love. And this first week is all about agape. So this whole week, every day, we're going to be dropping a lesson that pertains to agape. Okay. And the very first understanding of agape is the God love, right? So that's the framework. This is statistics. I put a whole lot of data to get to this particular chart. Of course, there may be variations, but yeah, this is where that love, when people say, I love you, the different levels that manifest in love. Okay. So it goes again to our scripture that we want to cover. Let me take this off. I don't want this to be all in your face, guys. We're going to go to this is the scripture that we have right now is 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 8. Now, you know, this passage, they call this the love chapter. Everybody always calls this the love chapter, and you can read the script, right? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. Now, you probably heard this in a lot of the weddings that you go to, right? This is that love scripture, but I want to break it down step by step just so you guys can get a fullness of it. Now, remember, take out your notes. You want to write these down. And as I go through these lines, I want you to put a check. I want you going to write these down with me. I'm going to show it to you, but you're going to take out your pad and you're going to put a check next to the area that you struggle with the most in your personal life. You're going to take out you're going to write an X right now. Listen, note takers are world changers. Don't just follow this series and not take notes. Don't just follow this series, download the workbook and not do anything about it. Okay. This is the year for you to transform your life. We're not even talking about the year. This is the moment right now. If God gave you breath in your body, and if God got you to this series, this is the moment for you right now to take your love life to the next level. Whether it is your marriage, your dating life, whatever it is, you're going to go to the next level. Follow along. Do what it is I'm telling you to do. Pray on it, but do the work to change your life, okay? So let's go ahead. We're going to break down agape love, and we're going to break down this scripture. Okay. So as I break it down, again, I told you, write it down and put a check next to the ones that you have the hardest time implementing in your love life. So first we got love. Again, this is, as you saw the chart, we're not talking about eros, which everybody starts with that heated, passionate love, right? We're talking about agape. We want to get to that, down to that true love, that 10%. We want to increase that. So a love we're referring to, agape love. This love is selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. Now, I know you may say it may not be easy to love unconditional. You're right. And I'm not telling you that this is going to be an easy journey. I am still learning that journey myself. But this is what God is calling us to as believers, to get to agape love. Second one is patient. Listen, this shows tolerance and endurance through difficulties without frustration or complaint. Let me say that again. Let me tell you what patience is as it pertains to love. It shows tolerance and endurance through difficulties without frustration or complaint, which means if you're going through something and you're still frustrated and you complaining about your spouse, you're not there yet. You're not there yet. Now, I can tell you I've grown in that area personally, but what I'm working on, and that's me being transparent, is the thoughts that go through my mind. Although I may not say or verbalize my frustrations or my complaints with my wife, I do sometimes still struggle with the thoughts that come up. And thank God I'm not saying things right, but I still ask God to help me with my thoughts. So I'm going to put a check for myself next to patience. All right. Be open and be honest with yourself. Do you struggle with thoughts? You may not be showing it with your mouth, with your actions, but you are dealing with the thoughts, right? Bible says, so a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So your thoughts are important, right? This is why sometimes I deal with stress. I get these stress knots in my neck, right? Because I'm still dealing with letting go of that frustration and patience as it pertains to agape love. Love is kind. What is kindness? Thank you, Holy Spirit. And this is another reason, too, when we talk about that TV show I was telling you guys about, how they immediately start talking about how they love somebody, how they love that person. But when you think about it, patience, love takes patience. It takes time. You can't fall in love. I know we believe in love at first sight. That's really the eros love. That's that passionate love. But that patience part, that agape, it takes time to build that love. And you have to go through some things for that love to be developed in your relationship, right? So that's why real love, real agape love, it takes time to develop. Again, love is kind. It involves being gentle, caring, and willing to help others. Are you kind to your spouse? Ask yourself that. Are you kind? Can you be kinder? We can all be kinder. Myself included. We can all be kinder to our spouse. Here's another one. Does not envy. Love does not feel discontent or resentful when others succeed. I can't tell you when I coach couples how much jealousy there are in the midst of marriages or in relationships. Envy. Envy of that person where you're supposed to be a team, but you're dealing with envy. That's not agape love. Those are some things that you're going to have to work on. And this the workbook will give you some steps in how to handle that, on how to really deal with working on some of those issues. So make sure you follow along. Does not boast. It does not brag or show off. I heard my pastor say, Dr. Miles Moreau, who was my teacher, he said, a real man does not brag about paying the bills. Her thing was powerful. You know how you walk around and you want to boast because you paid the light bill, you paid the car note, you paid these bills. That's not agape. It's not agape when you bragging on what you do. You holding that over people's head. That's not agape. When you talk about, well, I cooked dinner and I did this for you and I'm always doing these things. That's boasting, right? So then you say to yourself, then are you really doing it out of love? Or are you doing that because you're trying to get some cool points? Love is not proud. Love does not display excessive self-arrogance. I'm sorry, it does not display excessive self-esteem or arrogance. The key word here is excessive. Excessive. There's nothing wrong with being proud of what you're doing when it fits in the mold of modesty, right? Man, I'm proud of that. Like, you know, so I'm not saying you can't be proud. But when it's excessive and when it's arrogant, you know the difference on how that feels when somebody is arrogant. does not honor others. It is not rude or disrespectful toward others. Can't tell you how many times couples be out and they're disrespectful to each other. Even in this era of these pranks that they people playing on their spouses, some of the things I see on TV, is when you disrespect somebody like that and embarrass them like that, it is not honorable. That is not honor in relationships. It is not honor. I've seen people take cell phones, put their spouse on blast on social media. Oh, she didn't do the dishes, or look at his clothes. Look what he did. That is disrespectful. That tears people down. So if you're operating in that, you're going to have to check your heart, because that's not the agape love that God is trying to get people. No wonder why so many people don't get to that 10%. It is not self-seeking. Love is not selfish, but considers the welfare and interest of others. I always say to myself, where when you go out somewhere and you're getting yourself something to eat and you don't think about your spouse, bam, I call home when I'm hungry or something. I call my wife. Hey, you hungry? You want something? Like, what can I do for you? Or, you know, if I see something on Netflix and I know that I may not necessarily like, but I know she may like it, I'll send it to her. Like, and those are small things, right? But it's constantly showing that, hey, it's not about me, right? Let me do something for her. I know she likes this. That's some of that thing when you're talking about in the realm of it's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered, maintains composure, and does not become quickly or unnecessarily upset. Again, this is a check for me. This is some areas that I'm working on about not being easily angered. A lot of that, I had to do some soul searching on myself. God gave me a book. It's called The Relationship Persona Effect. You can go to my website and download that as well. But it showed me that there are different personas that we have inside of our relationships that causes this conflict internally. And this really helped me to understand how I'm wired and how my wife is wired, so that we can come up with some sort of bridge to be able to help deal with that. Okay. But not being easily angered. Do you fly off the handle at the littlest things? Huh? Are you snap, crackle, and pop? That's spirit. That's some things that you're going to have to deal with and pray on and work through if you want to get to real agape. Look, listen, I always say, to me, marriage is a social experiment that God created, because it definitely highlights the brokenness inside of who we are as people. Our brokenness, it puts a light in and shines a light in our trauma, in our unhealed areas, and the areas that we have to sacrifice and give to in order for us to walk as God called us to walk, in order for us to operate in that Genesis 1:26. So that's why marriages and relationships are some of the most, it's the most difficult relationship there is, because it's constant and sacrifice and servant, constantly, right? And if you want to get to that agape love, this is the process that you're going to have to go through. Keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not hold grudges or keep a tally of other people's mistakes. How many of you out there can remember every time somebody did something wrong to you? Huh? You got a memory like an elephant. 10 years ago, this person did this. You have not let that go. You're keeping records of wrong. And if that's an area that you're working on, I remember recently my wife revealed that that's an area that she is still dealing with. She brought up some things to me one day I totally forgot about. Like, I always say, women look at life like movies. Men look at life like episodes, right? I'll be on season 5, episode 3. Now, you know, in TV shows, the cast didn't change, the storyline didn't change, right? It's a whole different season with whole different other issues and problems. So I don't even remember what happened in season 1 most times. My wife remembers everything because they're all interconnected in the way she's wired. It's a part of how she's wired. Right. She looks at everything as one long movie. So whatever happened in the beginning of the movie, even though we at a different part of the movie, she feels that it's still connected. They're all connected. So she holds on to what happens here and bring it over in. I'm like, I don't even remember that. So that's something you want to work on. Keeps no record of wrong. Here's another one. does not delight in evil. Means it takes no pleasure in injustice or wrongdoing. Listen, we're in an era where so much negative stuff pops up on your social media feed that you can get addicted to watching negative stuff. If you are in a relationship and you first thing you look at on your social media feed is negative stuff, you want to change that. Like, it should be something in your spirit that does not want to regurgitate and consume negative things that's happening in the world, and you're constantly regurgitating that. You want to deal with that ASAP. Trust me, you don't want that festering in your spirit where you're thinking about and constantly being drawn to negative things that's happening in your relationships, okay, or in life, period, because you're going to end up bringing that into your relationship. It says it rejoices with the truth, finds joy in honesty, integrity, and reality. That's amazing how a lot of this is telling you what love isn't. But let's talk about what it is. Rejoices with the truth. Listen, are you celebrating when you hear something good, which is the opposite of getting up on social media, looking at negative stuff? Are you sharing the good stuff that's happening in your life? Are you sharing the good that you're coming up against? That's what agape loves. I want to bring you into my world and share what's happening good in my world. I know couples, when something good happens, they don't share it with their spouse. They may share with other people at their job or their family or on social media, but they don't necessarily directly share it with their spouse. Now, that may be because your spouse is negative or your partner is negative. So every time you bring them something great, they end up turning it into something negative. That does happen. And if that's the case, then that's definitely a spirit. And those are some things that have to be worked out. And we're going to cover some of that in our series when you're negative and you're bringing that spirit in. But in theory, you want to rejoice with your spouse when great things happen. That's only if you have space to do that, right? Always protects. Love always protects. What does that mean? Love guards and defends others, particularly about their well-being and honor. This is something that my wife taught me. There are certain things that trigger my wife, especially from social media. So my wife does not like to see videos of children being abused. So if I see that, I remember I'll see something like that and I'll share it with her, and she will be so triggered and bothered. And she was like, you know, don't share that stuff with me because it triggers me. Now, for me, I'm like, well, you know, I'm just showing you what was going on in the world, which also goes back to does not delight in evil. That's another part of that. And I've worked on that. But in order to protect my wife, I got to keep her from certain things. Even if I'm exposed to it, I don't have to share it. My wife told me something one day. She was like, you know, if somebody says a negative comment about me or you on social media and I see it first, I'm not going to share that with you. I'm going to deal with that, because if I open up that door now, you're going to be bothered by it. And both of us don't need to be bothered by it. So I'm going to protect you from that by not sharing those moments with you that can potentially upset your day. That's a way of protecting your spouse, right? And there's some other things that you can do to protect your spouse from certain things, but that's a part of agape, is protecting your spouse emotionally, not just physically, but emotionally, like sharing certain jokes and sharing certain things that you may come across, right? Your spouse don't need to see that if you know that they're triggered by that. Okay. Love always trusts. Trust is maintains faith and confidence in others. Do you have faith in your spouse? Do you trust your spouse? Can you leave your cell phone down without going through it? Can you leave your, I remember we used to be times in my life where I had experienced both areas. One area, me and my wife sometimes will even, I took her cell phone to work by accident because we had the same exact cell phone one day. And right, was no issues. We can go the whole day having each other's cell phone because, you know, there was nothing hidden. But I also experienced time in my life where I was dealing with jealousy and my own insecurities, and I was going through her cell phone and emails, right? That was a very dark time in our life that we got through. But I'm telling you, it was a very damaging area in our marriage, in our relationship, that caused a lot of issues. So you want to walk in trust with your spouse. Now, if they're giving you some things not to be trustworthy about, then yeah, I understand that, but that's not the way to do it. Because my friend told me once, whatever you look for in life, you will find it, even if it's not there. Okay. So you want to take it to God and you want to work some things out. And you definitely want to set boundaries. I'm not saying that you just totally avoid negative behaviors, because that's not agape. That's not wisdom. But you're going to have to set up some boundaries around that so that you can work through those things, so that you can get to agape love. It says love always hopes. It's a continuously optimistic and hopeful about the future. Are you in a situation in your life where you are being hopeful? Do you have hope in your marriage, in your relationship? Is it a dead situation? Right? Those are things you got to ask yourself. It always preserves. It endures through every challenge and hardship without giving up. I think this, to me, is the epitome of marriage. And I think that this is why this scripture is, to me, a key scripture with agape love, but also a key scripture when it comes to marriage as a whole, because that's what you want to do through your marriage. You're going to have more times in your marriage where you're going to be fighting through life, because life comes at us hard. Hard, the way gas prices and food prices and rent and bills and their money isn't going up, but the expenses is going up. With kids, you throw in demonic forces and attacks. Like, you really need to be with somebody in your relationship that's a warrior, because life is coming at you. It's coming at you hard, and you have to make sure that you prepare for that at all costs. That's why love perseveres. Did I say that right? Did I say perseveres? If I didn't say it right, I'm sorry, but it perseveres. It pushes through. Paul says, I press toward the mark of a higher calling. Your relationship, you have to be pressed toward some things, because in order to get to this last part, love never fails. Agape love. True love is eternal and unending. It doesn't give up, lapses, or cease to exist. Now, you can tell by that chart that I gave you earlier, a lot of us don't get to that part. You can tell by divorce rates, abuse rates, unhappiness, that we don't get to that part of our marriage, of our relationships. But in order to actually walk in true agape love, this is the process of which we must go through if we want to live that Corinthians life, that agape life. Okay, listen, I pray that this was a blessing to you. I want to make sure you guys remember, go and download the workbook, take this lesson, walk through what I'm telling you, listen to it again if you have to, right? Dissect it. I normally don't be this long, but I got excited, so forgive me. I try to keep these lessons shorter, but it was what God has called me to do. Make sure you go and you share this. I want you to share this message with somebody. Take the video and share it with someone. But also, what I want you to do, I want you to download what I like to call your free return on love assessment. I call it ROL. See, in business, they do what's called ROI, which is a return on investment, right? It's a formula that business people use to determine if their business is going to be successful. It helps them see where they're going to be in the red, where they're going to be in the black, where they're going to lose money, where they're going to make money, where they can do things differently to fix areas in their business. I created that same thought process in our relationships, because there's two things that I see happen in a lot of relationships. One, we keep trying to hold on to things that God told us to let go of, or two, we are walking away from things that God told us to stay. And I believe that it's sometimes when the emotions are flying and there's so much noise and we have so many options. When we see in social media, we think that it's green, the grass is green on the other side. It's hard for us to really make a determination on if we are where we're supposed to be. And this assessment was created to help you to look through the noise of your relationship, look through the heightened emotions, and to really get a full understanding of your strengths and your weaknesses. It really gives you especially for those that are married, right? But this was also great for those that are not married and they're trying to make a determination on if this relationship is serving my higher self. Is this the relationship that God has called me in? This is a free tool. It's normally $49.99, but it is a free tool. I want you to download this assessment, fill it out, be honest, and it will really give you a full understanding on if you are really getting back what you're putting into your relationship. It is a return on love on assessment. It's yours free. Download it today. Again, go to my website, MichaelDBallard.com. You can see it down here at the bottom. Go download that. And it's going to bless you. Again, share this post. And I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow on day two. I'm going to be going through agape love, how it originated from God. Agape love originated from God. Today we deal with the foundation, today we dealt with defining agape love. Today's lesson was about defining agape love. Tomorrow's lesson is about how agape love originates from God. Okay. So again, until we meet again, I want you to strive to love and be loved, not just in words, but in action and truth. And may your heart's journey be blessed with the richness and genuine love and strength of unwavering faith. I'm your boy, Michael D. Ballard, aka the Marriage Pastor, and it has truly been an honor and a blessing to be your guide today through this crazy thing called love. Until we meet again, faithful hearts, I love you with the love of Christ. See you tomorrow. Peace.